Well, everyone, I would like to introduce you to Formula One's funeral. Yes, that is right. We are holding a funeral for what is perhaps the most watched sport in the world. Now, if you're new here, we are BoxBox Podcast, powered by BoxBox Club. If you do want 30% off an Ultra subscription, then click the link in the description. But I'm not here to have fun. I'm here to have some serious discussions about what the hell is going on in our beloved sport, because what we watched on Sunday was an absolute travesty. Now, if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, subscribe if you're new, and say hello in the comments. Give us a 5-star rating if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform that you consume your podcasts on, because things are about to get very, very juicy.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. And I'll be honest, out of all the time we've been doing this podcast, I don't think I've ever seen Luke so triggered as I have done after yesterday's Mexico Grand Prix.
Was an absolute catalogue of disasters by, you know, the FIA, the whole collection of individuals involved in officiating that race. It was an absolute disaster and shock. Lo and behold, who has a target on their back? Sir Lewis Hamilton. Every single time, right? This is unacceptable. This is a man who had his record-breaking eighth world championship stolen from him by a man so incompetent that he manipulated the rules to bend the result of a race to ensure that Lewis didn't get that record-breaking title. Now, this is not comparative to that, of course, in terms of scale, but it highlights everything that people say. Lewis Hamilton has had a target on his back since the day he walked into F1, and it has remained here for the near 20 years that he has been in the sport. It is honestly unbelievable. And what happened yesterday is, it's not just Lewis fans that should be angry at this. Can I add? All F1 fans should be absolutely disgusted at what went down in yesterday's race. And I'm sorry, if you're not, you're just an idiot.
I think it's interesting because there was a lot of people I saw over social media, people a bit like, kind of, well, hang on, why is Lewis getting the penalty when you've seen Leclerc go off, you've seen Verstappen go off? Why is Lewis the one getting a penalty here? Let's delve into the team, shall we? Because all of this will kind of come up throughout the episode. But if you're new here, what we do, we go through each team post-race and actually just give our reviews of their weekend. So, did you want to start on Ferrari? Should we just get Ferrari out of the way? Because I know for you, I can see you just already like shaking because you're still angry.
I'm still so perplexed at how such incompetent people get into such high level positions. It's outrageous. Like, these are people that are not even fit to clean ponds. And we've got them officiating at the absolute pinnacle of motorsport. Now, the Ferrari thing is a strange one, okay? In terms of performance and everything, they looked pretty strong this weekend. It kind of all came together. They looked good through most of the practice sessions. Obviously, you had the young rookie in for Lewis Hamilton in FP1. But yeah, it was promising for Ferrari. And you know, that translated into qualifying, which is something that maybe we haven't had a lot of this season. But no one cares about all that shit. Let's talk about what you want to talk about.
And it's, yeah.
And that is, that's turn one. Turn one, lap one.
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts, because One thing I'm not going to take is some Muppet commenting about how we're just fanboying Lewis, and I really, really, really like Charles Leclerc, right? Mm. He's one of my favourite drivers. And this has got nothing to do with Charles versus Lewis. Charles did what any driver would have done. And do I expect the team to come over and say, give that position back? Probably not. Would I want them to do that if Lewis was in front? Probably not. Would a team with a bit of backbone do it? Perhaps. But this isn't necessarily about the team. This is about the people above.
Let's talk about the start, because the start was actually very good from Charles and Lewis. You know, both Charles came over to cover Lewis. Good battle down into turn one. Next thing you know, you've got four abreast there. You've got Verstappen, Lando, Leclerc and Lewis. And there was nowhere really for Lewis to go, was there? Max decided to go off the grass, cut the grass, and somehow managed to maintain his position, which I still don't understand. And his whole thing of like, oh yeah, but it was on lap one, so you have to let it go on lap one because, you know, it's just lap one. These things happen. I think that's a load of crap. I think there's certain people who get advantages, and actually sometimes you do need to give penalties.
Should I tell you what I'd be doing next year on lap one? I'm not breaking into turn one. Fuck that. I'm just going to carry on going, and I'm just going to cut across the grass.
It's also
what the hell are they going to do about it? They set the precedent now. They have literally set the precedent that you can completely cut that corner. Look, Max's was way more reasonable than Charles's. Can I just put that out there?
Yeah.
You know, Max did get run a little bit wide. There was nothing dirty in it. It was just, you know, that was a lap one thing. And clearly couldn't stop the car. I mean, he did obviously gain a lot of positions, but he did then give them back. Charles Leclerc just decided to go off the track.
Mm.
Like, there was no reason for that. And like I say, it was a tactical move, fair enough. But where the fuck are the governing body? Where are they? Like, where are they?
It wasn't... The mad thing about it all was... It was... What was it? Noted, but it wasn't investigated.
Yeah, but what...
And that's the
matter. What does that even mean?
I don't understand.
What does that mean?
Well, the fact is that they don't even want to look at it. They're not even going to send it off. They don't even think it's worthy of an investigation. It's more the fact of, yeah, it's happened. It's lap one instant, turn one instant. We'll just let it go. Mental. That's the mad thing about it. They didn't even investigate it. They didn't even look at it. That they just kind of like brush it under the carpet. Nah, it's absolutely fine there. But yeah, I agree. Leclerc should have given that place back. That wasn't, they had no intention of staying. He knew what he was doing on that one. And look, you know, I'm a Ferrari fan, but I still think, you know, there's no argument for that. There's no argument at all. I think, you know, Max's one, I agree. He had nowhere else to go, but he did put himself in that position where he knew he wasn't going to go anywhere. He was on the outside. He wasn't going anywhere with that.
And like I say, this is way more than just about teams. This is not about who you support. This is about the fact that the management of yesterday's race was terrible. And as a sport, as fans of this sport, we should be demanding more. So it's okay to sit there as a Charles Leclerc fan and criticize the FIA for the handling of everything yesterday. That is okay.
Because how many times have we said
it was a disaster?
How many times have we said this about
the FIA? This is the worst it's ever been. This is the lowest they have gone.
Well,
it was so bad.
You had Liam Lawson almost killing two stewards.
Yep, that was impressive.
I mean, I know they're investigating it now, but why were the stewards out there? I know you had a double yellow, but why are they out there? What is going on?
Honestly, I am still absolutely flabbergasted by yesterday. And I don't just want us to like go around in circles where we're not saying anything, but It truly was the first time I've been like genuinely angry at F1 since 2021, Abu Dhabi, of course. Just for the pure incompetence. And obviously, the biggest thing about this is not that Charles wasn't penalised or Max wasn't penalised or, you know, whoever. That was a big part of it. What soon became a bigger issue was the fact that Lewis Hamilton gets smashed by Max Verstappen. Now, we know that Max has some troubles when it comes to racing wheel-to-wheel with Lewis. And don't get me wrong, it takes two to tango. Lewis knows what he's doing in a lot of these situations. Max makes these absolutely audacious lunges and expects people to just get out of the way, and Lewis doesn't. You know, Lewis had an option to get out of the way. But in the same way that if someone broke into your house, are you just going to like bend over and hand them your car keys, or are you going to swing for them and tell them to get the fuck out? So Lewis rightfully shut the door because he made such an audacious lunge. Max then stopped the car because he drove into the side of Lewis. They then have a tussle. Lewis goes off the track. Yeah, gains an advantage because, you know, he's racing wheel to wheel with Max Verstappen here. He hasn't just decided to go off track. And they slap him with a 10-second penalty.
Do you know, it's interesting here because, look, that my view on this is actually going into turn one, it was an audacious lunge by Max, but we've seen him do it many times. I think it was a poor move by Max? In all honesty, no, I respect it. I respect the actual going for it because that's why he's world champion. That's where these moves have come from, and he goes for that. Obviously, he did come together with Lewis, and they, you know, when I've watched the replays back and I've heard feedback from it, you know, he was ahead going into that corner, which obviously then meant Max had to go off because Lewis, you know, supposedly pushed him off slightly heading into turn two. And then over that main straight, obviously, there was a whole George Russell managed to catch up behind, and, you know, Lewis was chasing down Max, manages to come out, and yeah, ends up getting pushed off or locking up and going off, and then gets a 10-second penalty for that. The bit I have the issue with is the consistency with the punishments. Regardless of, you know, whether Lewis got a penalty for that at all, it's more the fact that there were so many other drivers who went off in that Grand Prix, but no one else got a penalty. That's the issue I have with it. You know, if all of a sudden Lewis got a 10-second penalty, which I think was ridiculously harsh anyway, because I don't think he had that much of an advantage, and you could see him slowing down into the corner with Max coming up behind. But I think if you gave him a 5-second penalty, you'd be like, okay, fine. But there's no consistency for any other drivers on that grid, and that is the issue here.
But can we also just look at the causation of that whole thing? That series of events happened because Max Verstappen drove into the side of Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton wouldn't have had to try and overtake Max Verstappen had he have not driven into the side of his car. And this is where, like, how did Lewis gain an advantage? He'd already lost whatever he was meant to have because someone had just driven into the side of him. It's just nuts. And yeah, like you say, the biggest thing is the consistency. And why is it that it's always Lewis Hamilton on the receiving end of these abysmal penalties or, you know, monumental fuck-ups that cost people world championships? Or it does seem like, and fair enough if you're sitting here and disagreeing that, like, you have your own opinion, don't comment because I don't care. Because it's factual that Lewis does have the rules apply to him differently. You know, it's almost like they are constantly trying to prove a point. They're constantly trying to be like, no, we're in charge here. You're not as big as us. I don't know what it is. It's like they've got a real bee in his bonnet about it. Obviously, they fear that he is bigger than the sport. He is. And it's like they're always trying to belittle him. You know, like I say, this is more than just about supporting a team, a driver, or whatever. If you're an F1 fan, you should look at yesterday and be like, that was a fucking shit show.
Well, you know, our group chat was just like, just burning, wasn't it? Because you had everyone was pretty much going, well, what's going on here? Why is that happening? That's ridiculous. Why has they not got a penalty? It was consistent with so many. And you saw Max, okay, this time last year in Mexico, he almost tried to kill Lando Norris. Do you know what I mean? You know, so
yep.
But Max has form in Mexico. But again, it goes down to the fact that drivers were going off, gaining an advantage, but not having to give anything back. And that's the mad thing of all this weekend. And I think the sad thing for Lewis Hamilton, he had a very good qualifying P3, really positive for him this weekend. To go into that race and get that 10-second penalty completely ruined it for him. He was on course for a podium, you know, first podium at Ferrari. The Ferraris looked good. Charles Leclerc looked good. Lewis Hamilton looked good up until that point. And as soon as he got that penalty, it kind of ruined it. That was basically him over. And the fact he's coming away from Mexico in a P8 is brutal for Lewis. And I think that kind of sums up his season. But this weekend was basically because he got screwed over by the FIA.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there is part of the responsibility is down to his team. Ferrari should have come over the radio and told Charles to give that position back. That is what I believe. Like I say, it's a bit of a tricky one because I understand the middle ground here, but all of this could have been resolved by the team. It then could have also not been exacerbated by the FIA. And
it's a shame because... How many times have we said that with Ferrari this year? How many times have we said that? The communication from the engineers on the pit wall is awful. I actually think, and I read this, and I don't know whether it's true, and I believe it's true. It took 3 laps for Ferrari to then tell Lewis Hamilton he had a 10-second penalty.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Would that really surprise you? Would that surprise you?
But why, you know, if you're Ferrari and you're worried about a penalty, which with how things are, you should be worried. Why didn't they just say to him, look, just give the place back. We've reviewed it quickly. The communication is just poor. It's just so poor. It's just, you know, and I know we'll get onto later on, but the FIA even, what was it with that Carlos Sainz incident as well? Ridiculous.
We'll get onto that when we talk about Williams, but my God, it's like they were out to ruin Lewis Hamilton's race. But let's not forget, they also ruined a lot of other people's races. You know, this going off in turn one thing and not penalising people ruined more races than just Lewis's. Lewis's race was ruined by that and then the addition of a penalty. But
George Russell got caught.
George Russell, Kimi Antonelli, you know, where would Oscar Piastri have finished had Max Verstappen received a penalty or Charles Leclerc? There's so many consequences here. It's just the Lewis one is just absolutely obscene because he was the only man to get a penalty, despite the fact that his incident only happened due to the fact that he was crashed into, which is fucking mental. But anyway, let's talk about another team because I'm fucking done with talking about Ferrari and that heap of shit that they make those boys drive around in.
If you've listened to this podcast for ages, like you will probably listen to this and go, wow, I've never heard Luke this angry. And I'll be honest, lads, I'm buzzing for it because it's normally me who's the frustrated one on this podcast. So to have Luke actually frustrated this week, it's quite nice.
I just can't deal with... I'm way less angry at Ferrari than I am the FIA and stewards, race director, etc. Because that is just, as far as I'm concerned, that is just pure bias. That's a target on the back. It's unfair. It's unsportsmanlike. It's just shit like that ruins the sport. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like playing Monopoly with some cunt that takes an extra 100 every time they go round and pass go. It's just like, just play the game properly, mate. It just sucks the enjoyment out of it. And that's why we're watching. We enjoy it. We want to have fun when we're watching it. And, you know, they've already fucked the sport up enough with these shit regulations. And they fuck it up in other ways constantly. And then this is just embarrassing. Tires, oh my God. Sorry, we did 40 laps on soft tyres yesterday. Did you see, before the race started, Pirelli tyre strategy prediction. One stop. Obviously. As if it's ever going to be anything else ever again. That, you know, take away the rule that they have to run two tyre compounds. I'm pretty sure these races would be no stops. So, it's just, it's crazy. And then, yeah, they do stuff like this, which just makes you lose all confidence in them. So now I'm just sat here thinking, actually, the sport's not even going to get any better because the people that are running it and, you know, supposedly enshrining the values and rules of the sport are useless.
There you go. Right, let's get Alpine out of the way quickly. I'm going to sum Alpine up in three words. Another poor weekend. Okay, so that's Alpine out of the way. So where should we go to next? Aston Martin, Lance Stroll, P14, Fernando Alonso, DNF'd. Another poor weekend for Aston Martin. The funny thing about it is, I think, when was it? On Saturday. I think they were just kind of rinsing Lance Stroll because they're like, yeah, it's another Q1. I think every time you watch the highlights, if you ever go on to YouTube and watch the highlights of qualifying, right, they will always say for the 13th time this season, Lance Stroll out in Q1. For the 14th time this season, Lance Stroll out in Q1. It's like they just like keep digging it in every week and it's becoming a bit of a joke now. So yeah, poor weekend for Aston Martin.
Lance Stroll has got to go.
No. Like, we need him in the sport, Luke. We said this. We made this discussion. We had this discussion last time. We have to keep Lance Stroll in the sport. He's the closest we have to a Logan Sargeant, a Latifi, a Mazepin. We have to protect Lance Stroll at all costs and keep him in the sport because he's the only one who, in theory, gives us a bit of excitement.
Well, I'll tell you what did excite me. It's the fact that Fernando Alonso was told to let Lance Stroll pass and he just drove into the pits and got out the car. I thought that was pretty funny. Obviously, Alonso is at the end of his career. You know, but I'm not saying it's over for him, but he's been in the sport for a very long time. And he's still a very good driver, a very, very good driver. And Aston Martin are just wasting an opportunity to utilise a two-time world champion and to have a team that can carry, and I'm talking driver partnership, that can carry a team forward by having Lance Stroll in the car next to him. And I'm not being funny, if I was Fernando Alonso and they told me to let Stroll through, I'd probably park up and get out the fucking car as well, because I'd be like, oh my God, this, I'm not having this, like, it's, no chance. So, you know, they're probably going to mess that up as well. They'll keep Lance Stroll in the car because daddy owns the team, and look, I get it, that's an incredibly difficult conversation to have, but how many times do I have to sit here on a Sunday evening saying, what are they going to do about Lance Stroll? Because can't just have this conversation again and again. I can't be the only person that sees it. I'm not talking about you lot. I'm talking about the people at the factory, the people within the team, the engineers, the aerodynamicists, the fucking everyone, the marketing team. They must be thinking, how do we gloss over this? You know, what is happening here? Like, what are the big dogs saying there? Are they not looking at this team and thinking, Jesus, I'm not sure we're going to ever be able to get this to where we need it to be, all the while we have Lance Stroll in the car? That's a serious conversation that they are going to have. And is he in the car next season? What do you think?
I can't see him not being in the car next season. I think I agree with you in the sense that they put so much investment into Aston Martin, you know, getting Fernando Alonso, getting Adrian Newey. They've invested a lot in the infrastructure. But yeah, I mean, we've said many times, it's a lack of desire to succeed when you're still keeping Lance Stroll in that car. And
like you say, they've invested so much money, and it's like going to the shop and buying all the ingredients for a cake, but instead of eggs, you buy a fucking DVD player. It's not going to work. You need every single ingredient to be right. And Lance Stroll, unfortunately, is the DVD player in a recipe. You're not going to make anything with it.
Lance Stroll is a DVD player. There you go. That's very good. I like that.
It's a shame because obviously Aston Martin are a British team. Newsflash, I am British. So I would love to see them do well. And such an iconic brand, doing all the right things off the track. They are just going to waste the opportunity because, like I say, Fernando Alonso is a very, very fine driver. Mm. And they're kind of wasting his last few years. And they're wasting all the hard work of everyone at that team.
Exactly. Williams. So Carlos Sainz qualified P7. Alex Albon P17. Alex Albon in the race finished P12. Carlos Sainz ended up retiring at the end of the race and basically bought out a virtual safety car, which I'm still a bit perplexed on why.
Safety first.
But you can go out on track when there's still F1 cars going around on the double yellows. That's all right, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but that car was an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on that one. So, again, what was mental is you had two great battles at that point. You had Max Verstappen chasing down Charles Leclerc. You had Oscar Piastri chasing down Ollie Bearman. No, so all of a sudden you see a yellow flag come up in sector 3. You're like, okay, what's going on here? Carlos Sainz is parked up. And when we mean parked up, he's parked up out of the way, basically. He's in. He's almost in an entry, isn't he?
Mate, he's so far off. He's in a multi-story car park. He's nowhere near the track. He's genuinely, like, off the track. And in a position where it's impossible for a car to hit him. Let's not forget he had to literally drive the wrong way around the track to get to that position. So, do you see what I mean earlier when I say I've got no confidence in these guys? Because they spent the whole race winding fans up by not managing the race properly. They then slap a 10-second penalty on the man that they seem to hate more than anyone in the world. And then just as it's getting good in the final few laps, they're like, do you know what? Let's just can the racing. Fuck it. Why not? That would piss everyone off more.
Do you know what I think happened? Right. Zac Brown went up and went, look, my baby boy Lando's leading this. If Oscar gets past Ollie Bearman, he'll go back to leading the championship. Can't have that. Carlos Sainz is right or left rear wheel is just slightly in vision. I think you should put a virtual safety car. Max Verstappen, we don't want him overtaking Charles Leclerc because he'll get close to Lando. So, lads, here's 50 quid. Can you do that for me? Did him a solid.
You know what? Let's talk about McLaren because there's not a great deal to talk about Williams. A disappointing weekend for them, but like we say, Williams are on a great path. And success is going to come for them. It already has. Like, this season is a huge success for them.
So you want to go on to McLaren? We're going on to McLaren already.
Well, look, I'm sorry. Something is happening over there. Something very fishy is going on over at McLaren because where has Oscar Piastri's pace gone? He's been the quickest man all season. And now all of a sudden it's like, he's forgotten how to drive. He hasn't. It's not a him problem. I'm smelling some bullshit over at McLaren because, I'm sorry, wait. Let me just get the quali result up. How far off? Bear in mind, this is the man that relentlessly for most of the season was dropping Q3 bombs. He was dropping laps out of nowhere that were just unbelievable. And it's like,
it was about seven tenths.
You're telling me that Oscar Piastri was, I think, that yeah, is that, that's like six or seven tenths. Six or seven tenths slower than Lando Norris. I'm sorry, I'm just not buying that. That's not the same car.
See, I have to be careful. I have to be careful what I say, because then people will go, I'm a Lando hater and all of this stuff. So I have to be careful, right? Let's break this down.
This is not taking anything away from Lando, right? Can I just say, like, Lando had an unbelievable weekend, and I think it would have been difficult for anyone to beat him. You know, that his Q3 lap was blistering, and the race, he dominated. You know, it was like watching 2023 Max or like pre-21 Lewis, where, you know, you just start out front, you cruise off, and you just command the whole race. It was a 10 out of 10 drive, a 10 out of 10 weekend for Lando Norris.
He was flawless. He was absolutely flawless.
What I'm saying is that there's no way in hell that Oscar Piastri is 6 tenths slower than him.
No. But it's interesting because the post-race interview, they asked him about the question. He said, there's changes. And they were like, well, have you lost the confidence? He was like, no. He was like, I haven't. He said, I'm just having to adapt to certain changes. So my question is, why have they changed this now? You know, you got this driver who was quality for probably the majority of the season, and all of a sudden things have slightly changed and he's having to adapt his driving style. Well, why are they changing at this point? As you know, if it's not broke, why fix it? And it seems to whatever they've changed is benefiting Lando Norris much more than Oscar Piastri. So I stand by what I've said before. And if Lando goes on to win the championship this year, fair play. But I do, you can just tell that everything they're trying to do is trying to favour Lando Norris in this and trying to do everything they can to get in that championship. And look, if that's something that means a lot to McLaren, is Lando Norris being the championship instead of Oscar Piastri, then they're pretty much sharing exactly. The mad thing is, you know, you're coming out of Mexico with Lando Norris now winning, leading the championship by 1 point, okay? So if they hadn't done what they did in Monza, Oscar Piastri would still be leaving Mexico, leading the championship by 2 points, okay? That Monza thing is going to come back and haunt Oscar. I generally do believe that. It is a worry for me that actually this championship could just literally be done by 1 or 2 points. And we go back to... Huh?
It's actually unthinkable. Like, cast your mind back to Monza and imagine the reality that we're going to make you swap positions with your title rival because we gave him a slow stop. That is... And now, yeah, you're right. It has cost him. Oscar Piastri would be leading the championship at this point in time if it wasn't for that. But like I say, there's something bigger going on in this. I don't know what it is, but you're telling me Oscar was able to, you know, command a lot of the season. And now he's 6 tenths off his teammate.
Oscar hasn't lost it because some of those overtakes yesterday were brilliant. Some of those attacks, yes, okay, he only gained a couple of positions, but it was difficult. There was a lot of DRS trains. There was a lot of, you know, dirty air wasn't great for the cars. So I'm still confident Oscar will go on and do it. I am. But it's an interesting point because I've seen a lot of, over social media. Why was Lando Norris booed? And a lot of people afterwards were going, oh, why is he booed? You know, and there was the speculation, actually, some of the comments he made about Sergio Perez last year after Qatar, and so many different things. The reason why Lando Norris was booed yesterday goes back to Monza, right? It's a fact. It goes down to Monza. F1 fans, after Monza, saw the real side of McLaren, and they were pissed. And they took Oscar Piastri's side. You saw that afterwards. And that is why Lando Norris was booed yesterday. Am I wrong?
No, I agree. And look, the worst part about this is, but I'll give Lando the benefit of the doubt here. This is not his doing. We said how important it is for a team to be strong and to not put drivers in this position. McLaren have put Lando in this position where now crowds are booing him. Mm. You know, Lando is one of the most loved drivers on the grid. And he always seems, you know, like he's got his YouTube stuff. Like, he seems like a guy that just loves having fun. He's clearly like a good-natured person. And now you've got it in a situation where one of the most loved drivers on the grid is being booed at races. This isn't the first time he got booed at Monza. Yeah. And I would be surprised if we don't see him getting booed at most of the podiums that he's on for the rest of the season. Because F1 fans don't like this, and the team have put him in this position. Mm. And if Lando had won the championship without all of this, I'm sure people would think about it very differently. And, you know, if Lando goes on to win it by 2 points, people are going to say there's an asterisk next to it. I'm not saying I'm that person, by the way. Like, Lando...
I am.
Has been fantastic for the season. But the team have put him in this position.
I would be one of those people. And I don't want to, because I think Lando's done a brilliant job. And... But it's the same as we put an asterisk next to Max Verstappen for 2021. Do you know what I mean? They talk about the fact that the team aren't, you know, they've got the constructors. They're not playing a part in the drivers' championships. They're going to let their drivers, you know, race. They've already played a part. They've already made their mark on this championship by making these decisions. So this is why Lando Norris is in the position he is. This is why he's getting booed. This is why F1 fans are mad with it. And this is why McLaren have a bad name at this moment in time. They won't care about that. McLaren fans won't care about that. But F1 fans will care about it. And you're seeing that at these races. So I think there will be people, if Lando Norris goes on to win by one or two points, will be going, well, actually, he got gifted that by his team. And that is sad for Lando Norris, because I don't want that for anyone. You know, we go back to Max in 2021. That must have been horrible for Max, okay? Having that whole thing of like, oh, well, you're gifted that. No, Max across the season was a fantastic driver and he deserved that championship on merit. But that was manipulated. It's the same this season, not to that extent, but it's still manipulated to benefit Lando Norris.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with whatever is going on with Oscar's car over at McLaren now, you know, I'd be interested to see what happens in Brazil. I mean, you know, let's not forget Oscar did fall off towards the tail end of last season as well, but Oscar's been a different beast this season. I can't put two and two together here, and I think he's probably the same. I watch him doing those interviews, I can see the cogs turning. He's thinking, like, every question he's getting asked, he's thinking, like, I don't really know how to answer, because, yeah, something is messed up here. Something is happening. Because there's no way I've just gone to sleep, woken up one day, and I'm now 6/10 slower than my teammate. So, I don't know. You know, this is, again, it goes back to my point. This is what happens when you haven't got a team that have a backbone. And I love McLaren. You know, as a team, they're iconic. They were the first team that Lewis Hamilton raced for. They're one of the, in terms of how the cars look and everything, they're one of my earliest memories of Formula One. You know, back when you had Kimi Raikkonen in the car or David Coulthard, they are a great team, and I don't want them to taint either of these boys' championships. You know, if Oscar wins it, if Lando wins it, I don't want it to be like, oh God, do you remember the team that season and how, like, God awful they were, and all of this interference and this and that? Like, nobody really looks back at, you know, one of the most iconic teammate battles of all time, Lewis and Nico. No one really looks back at that and says, oh my God, the team had their fingers in way too deep on that. You know, they had their claws sunk into that battle because they didn't. And maybe part of that is because Lewis and Nico were way, way bigger personalities than both Oscar and Lando. You know, I think I love Oscar. He's a killer. But you need to grow a backbone, my friend. You are an unbelievably quick driver. And you should not be letting a team favour anyone over you. You know, all of these boys are the same. Other than maybe one driver, I won't say who, all 20 of these have arrived in the sport on pure merit. They are unbelievable drivers. Every single one of them should believe firmly that they can win a world championship, and they should never be playing second fiddle to anyone. Doesn't matter who your teammate is, Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, all world champions. If you're their teammate, you should still believe that you should beat them. But, you know, Oscar allowing... Could you imagine Lewis Hamilton in 2015 being told, oh, you've got to swap positions with Nico because he had a slow stop? You'd probably just hear laughing over the radio.
Well, it was a mockery, wasn't it? It was a mockery, F1 fans. And I do think that was the turning point. And we said, haven't we, on the podcast, McLaren favour Lando. Okay, when I say we have, I have. And I've said it for a very, very long time. And I've had a lot of stick. I've had a lot of people come up, you know, say, well, you're just a Lando hater. I'm really not a Lando hater. But stop nodding, I'm not a Lando hate later. But what really pisses me off as an F1 fan is the favouritism. You've got Oscar Piastri, who's his third season in the sport, and his rise has been phenomenal. And I think, you know, he's done a phenomenal job this year. He's been brilliant. But this is a driver who also, you can tell, doesn't feel that he's favoured by his team. And what's pretty evident is by them favouring Lando and making that decision in Monza, it has turned F1 fans on McLaren. And that's their own doing. And like we said earlier on, it's awful for Lando Norris because he doesn't deserve that. And that's not fair on Lando. But what McLaren have done here with their decision-making and their poor decision-making as such is put them in this situation. And now you're in a position where Lando Norris is winning in Mexico after a phenomenal performance and he's getting booed. And that is down to the team. Yeah. That's not down to Lando, that is down to the team for putting him in that position.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, F1 fans like competition and we like tough competition, hard racing, fair racing. We like the rules to be applied correctly and equally to everyone. But Jesus, we can't even get that at the moment. And, you know, it's what turns people away from any sport, not just F1, when these things happen. And yes, yeah, it's, you know, Lando Norris should not have been booed after that race because he had an unbelievable weekend. He won the race resoundingly and he dropped a flawless drive when it mattered the most. And, you know, the people should have been standing. He should have received a standing ovation. I'm not saying the fans of Mexico have done anything wrong here. Can I just add? I think they were reacting to a situation that Lando didn't cause. And it's just a shame. It's a shame to see.
All right, answer me this question. Quick question before we move on.
No.
What? No, you're not going to answer it?
No, I was preempting that the answer would be no.
Okay. So, Lando Norris wins the championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 points is the difference between him and Oscar Piastri. Is Lando Norris a worthy champion?
Well, yeah, because look, it's in the same kind of category as 21. We can look at you know, like we said, like Max was a worthy champion. It's just the way in which it unfolded meant that he wasn't at that time the rightful champion. And it would just be the same with this. You know, Lando Norris is a deserving world champion. He's had a great season. He's, you know, he's still, he would still be, what, 2 or 3 points behind Oscar Piastri had that swap at Monza not happened. That's still a very close title battle. Anyone that close to leading the championship at this stage of the season is a deserving champion. But yeah, it will definitely raise a lot of eyebrows, and I wouldn't put an asterisk next to it, but I will remember the fact that McLaren essentially gifted it to him instead of Oscar.
Fair. No, I agree. I think he'd be a worthy champion. I just think, yeah, I'm with you on that. It's actually, it was a bit gifted more than anything. Final question on McLaren before. So obviously Oscar Piastri now 1 point behind Lando Norris. Is Oscar Piastri still favourite for this championship?
You probably wouldn't say so at this point. I mean, when it seems that everything is kind of being done in a way that works against him, you know, if you were a faster runner than me and we were having a race, but you have to race with your shoelaces tied together, I'd probably be the favourite. And that's kind of what I think it is. What the situation is now. I mean, yeah, I hope there's nothing going on behind the scenes, but it just seems a little bit fishy to me.
Do you generally believe McLaren are doing something to underperform Oscar Piastri?
Yeah, I don't believe Oscar Piastri was 6 tenths slower than Lando Norris this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's something. Do let us know. Right, let's get through some twos because we've been talking 47 minutes and I think we've only done like five teams. We'll go through some of these quick because the main one was McLaren. Max Verstappen P3, Yuki Tsunoda P11. Another good weekend for Max Verstappen. Realistically, he should have finished P2. If it wasn't for that virtual safety car, he would have got Charles Leclerc.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that was, you know, that could have been a vital 3 points. But let's not forget, right, if, let's say McLaren start 1-2 next week and they crash into each other, take each other out, Max Verstappen goes on and wins the race. Part of me would love that to happen because that would put Max like 10 points behind Oscar. That would make things unbelievably exciting for the last couple of races. So part of me is kind of hoping something like that happens. But yeah, it's 3 points lost for Max. But I don't think he's going to be sitting here thinking, I'm going for the world championship here. I think he's just going to be turning up thinking, look, let me just maximize everything. I'll do what I do best. And I'll be there to pick up those points when these boys do drop them. Well, and that's all he can do now.
Next up is Brazil. And you know, last year in Brazil, rain, like that was one of our best race weekends ever. You had a whole day of just F1. It was beautiful. I'm a bit gutted I'm actually not in the country when that's on. I don't know if you know, but I'm doing a marathon next week.
Really? You haven't mentioned that. Where are you doing that?
Yeah. And not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, I'm doing a marathon, my first ever marathon. So,
and where is it?
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, thought you might say that. I'm a bit gutted I won't be at home for that to watch it because it is one of my favourite races of the year. But yeah, Max Verstappen, don't rule him out. All it takes, like you say, in Brazil, a rain weekend, and you know what Max is like in the rain. He could easily be, you know, going, yeah, as you said, 10 points behind in a championship after Brazil. So it's all to play for. It's an exciting championship battle.
Can I just say, Don't rule out George Russell. The dream is still alive.
It's slightly still alive after...
If, you know, Norris, Piastri and Max cannot get any more points and George does have to win every single race, but it's alive. It is alive.
I wouldn't put my mortgage on it, in all honesty.
No, don't put any money on it. That would be bad advice.
Mercedes, Kimi Antonelli P6, George Russell P7. Look, George Russell got fiery in the race. He was getting peed off. Let me pass Kimi Antonelli. I can go on and try and chase down Ollie Bearman. A lot of teams this weekend took a lot of time to make key decisions, didn't they? And this was a prime example for George Russell. He got stuck behind in the dirty air, destroyed his tyres, and afterwards that kind of hindered him, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, we've seen it quite a lot this season. I mean, I got flashbacks of Ferrari, Miami, where they made Lewis sit behind Charles for so long, and then his tyres were just a little bit fucked. Pretty much the same here. You know, George is having to push like mad because he had Oscar up his arse. His words, not mine. He was obviously stuck behind Kimi. We know that tyre temps at this place, because the high altitude, is something that all drivers have to manage. And I don't think the team helped him out massively. It doesn't really help coming over the radio telling your driver that he needs to cool his rear tyres when he's in a battle and he's stuck behind his teammate. But, you know, ultimately, George...
I don't know if you know, but I got a car up my ass.
Yeah, I mean, but he's right to get a little bit shitty about that, because what race are they watching? Or would you want him to do? Get out and fan them? Like, there's not a lot he could do there. He had to push the car to the limit to hold the position.
Yeah.
You know, I think George showed why he is a role model. You know, he said, look, let me go in front. If I can't get him, I'll give the position back. He did. I think, you know, the mismanagement of that by Mercedes probably cost both him and Kimi positions this weekend. But ultimately, look, Mercedes are not going to be disappointed with the weekend. Ever since this new era of cars, they've been such a yo-yo team. You cannot predict where they are going to be good, where they're going to be bad. And you can almost guarantee that where you think they're going to be bad, they're probably going to win the race. Yep. It's mental, but yeah, you know, George Russell was also one of the drivers to come out and really be like, sorry, what the hell were the FIA doing? You know, what the hell were they doing allowing drivers to cut across the tracks? And
he was livid after, wasn't he?
Yeah, but you know, I like that about George. It's difficult because you've got drivers like Max, for example, who came out and said, it's not my problem. Great, but ultimately, like I say, we're all F1 fans, the drivers included. And, you know, surely, even as a driver, you are going to come out and be like, it's not going to change anything at this point. Max is already, they're not going to retrospectively change things. We know they can't do that, Abu Dhabi 2021. But... you know, this is where George is a great role model. He will come out and be like, that is some straight bullshit. Because it was. And that's, no. I don't think it's ideal for drivers to come out and be like, well, didn't affect me, not my problem. Right. But like, what does that do for the sport? That doesn't push it forward, does it?
No.
Like, agreed. Because if he was Lewis Hamilton in that situation, you're telling me he's coming out and saying, not my problem. No way. He's hitting the roof. I'd be setting things on fire.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you on that one. Can we talk about my driver of the day? Ollie Bearman.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were going to say Gabriel Bortoleto.
No. Ollie Bearman, a P4 for Haas. What a drive. What a talent this driver is. I mean, look, We were sceptical at the beginning of the season. We were a bit unsure whether he was actually going to make his mark on F1. But my God, he is coming and he is delivered. This drive, I do believe you could put him in a top team and he would deliver. I really do believe that. He is growing with confidence. He's got good pace. He's just great. A likeable character. I was delighted for him. I mean, obviously, I would have liked Oscar Piastri to get past him to get a few more points to... Yeah, but anyway, I was delighted for Ollie Bearman to pick up a P4. And he didn't just get that through luck. He got that on merit.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't jump the gun and say that he could go to a top team just yet. But he is certainly someone that I look at and I think, you'll make it to a top team. You know, he even stuck it to Max Verstappen. And that takes some balls when you're driving a Haas. And now he's obviously ahead of his teammate in the standings. He's on 32 points. I think Ocon is on 30. This also catapults Haas into P8, in the championship. 2 points ahead of Kick, which I don't know if you saw it. It was quite funny. Bortoletto came over the radio at the end of the race, basically saying like, wow, Behrman P4, that's sick. Like, congratulating him, basically. Then his engineer was like, and not ideal for us in the Constructors' Championship. And he's like, yeah, but pretty cool for Bearman. So, got to respect that. Yeah, look, I love this year's rookies. You know, we had a lot come in. And none of them have disappointed.
No, I've been really impressed with the rookies this year. I think Ollie Bearman's been brilliant. Bortoletto's done fantastic. Isaac Hadjar. I think they've been great. I really do. You know, we were quite sceptical with a few of them, whether they'll come in and actually deliver. But my God, you know, Ollie Bearman coming away with a P4. You know, that Haas hasn't, you know, it's been very inconsistent, hasn't really performed well over the last few years. So, you know, that's really big for the team. Really big for the team this weekend. Yeah. And even Esteban Ocon picking up some more points as well in P9. Brilliant weekend for Haas. Talking of Gabriel Bortoletto, yeah, picking up a point, P10, really solid again. He's been consistent. He's been brilliant, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been that driver that's just been ticking along. And he was a little bit of a slow starter, and we mentioned, you know, yeah, but he's been finishing every race. He's not been picking up damage, he's not been getting his silly collisions, putting it in the wall. He had just been just ticking over, and then the points came. So, you know, out of all the rookies, he got dealt the worst hand. Other than Colapinto and Doohan, if you want to talk about those. We knew that going into Kick this year was not going to be ideal for anyone. It is a long-term project. And I think he's shown that he's the perfect man to drive alongside Nico Hülkenberg on this Audi project.
I think they've got a fantastic partnership there with those two. I really do. I think you've got that mix of youth, and you've also got that mix of experience, and especially with a team going into that transition into Audi for next year, I think it's really exciting for them. I really do. You know, they've got Jonathan Wheatley, bought Binotto. They've got really good foundations there. So yeah, it's really, really promising. Really promising. I'm excited to see what Audi can do next year. I think that is everyone. Obviously, yeah, we missed out on your RBs, actually. Isaac Hadjar, P13. Lawson, apart from always hitting two stewards, went out after the first lap, I think, or second lap. So not a bit a difficult weekend for RBs, but I think that is everyone. Any more rants you want to go on about?
No, I've had enough. We'll be back next week to look ahead to the Sao Paulo Grand Prix, and
which if you're Bortoletto, you must be buzzing.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that is there's going to be some moment for him. And let's not forget, you know, Colapinto is going to have a big following there.
Yeah.
There's, the Argentine fans are going to come over in their numbers. Let's not forget, it's also Lewis's second home race now. So, no, it's going to be crazy. It's always a contender for race of the season. Let's hope it delivers again. Let's hope we can also have the rules applied correctly this weekend and fairly.
Don't hold your breath.
Equally.
Don't hold your breath.
No, I won't.
They'll do the whole race on softs.
Pirelli have got to fuck off. What are they making the tires out of fucking stainless steel or something? Like, why are they not degrading? It's ridiculous. They have to do something to make these tires. Don't make them dangerous. But come on, like, we can't be doing 40 laps on the soft tire, lads. That's not right.
Well, if you're going to do that, something wrong there. If you're going to do that, just bring back refueling then. One of the
other. Yeah, like give us something. Yeah. Give us anything.
But that is the end of the podcast. All I can say is we've got an exciting end to the season. Lando Norris takes the lead in the championship, leading now by 1 point over Oscar Piastri. Can Lando go on and win a championship? Do let us know. Do drop a comment. Check us out on all social media. TikTok, we post daily. So go and check us out on there. Drop some comments on there. If you're listening to us on Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. And you can also leave a comment on there. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, subscribe if you're new. And yeah, we'll be back next week, preview in Brazil. But have a good week. Luke will hopefully be calmed down by next week. And maybe not. But yeah, have a good week. And we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.